All right, so we're going to be packing shoeboxes to send them overseas to a boy or a girl, a child in need that without it wouldn't have a normal Christmas experience or a wonderful Christmas. So this is an opportunity for us to be a blessing. Our prayer goal is that we would be able to put together 600 shoeboxes. Do you think that we could put together 600 shoeboxes?
Yeah.
Yep, our goal last year was 500, and we almost got there, so Gene had decided, well, we're going to go for 6 this year, and I think that we can do it. So be ready to grab shoeboxes next week. They'll be here, and what a great opportunity to kick off the Christmas season, even though it's a few months away. Hey, listen, if Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's can start celebrating Christmas with selling things, we can start celebrating Christmas by giving, can't we?
Yes.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I'm so looking forward to sharing that journey and experience with you. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Outrageous Joy, and Pastor Nancy did a great job of launching that for us last week, and I get a chance to come in here and talk to you and ask you a question today. Is it in you? Is it in you? Now, is it in you would come from Gatorade. Have you guys ever seen the Gatorade commercials where they ask the question, is it in you? What are they asking you? Well, they're asking you, is there product in you? Is Gatorade inside of you? What they're saying is that you need this Gatorade to be inside of you to be the best athlete that you can be, to have all the energy and the power and the strength to be able to compete at the top level of your performance. And on this series on joy, we're going to discover that joy is the Gatorade for our souls. That's a good one. Why don't you write that one down? Gatorade is, joy is the Gatorade for our souls. It gives us hope for tomorrow. It gives us the enthusiasm that we need for life. It gives us the courage to hang on. It gives us the desire to be an encouragement to others. It gives us strength in trials. Joy is the Gatorade for the soul. And the question I'm going to ask you throughout today's message is it in you? Is the joy of the Lord in you? And here's why you would want to be able to answer that question. Yes, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
It is your strength. And that's the question that Gatorade asks their clients. Is Gatorade in you? Because it is a source of strength for athleticism. But God is saying here, is it in you? Because the joy of the Lord is a source of strength for all of life and all of living. As a matter of fact, in John 15:11, God says this through Jesus Christ, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And so in Jesus, it's God's great desire, it's his great passion, it's his great joy to share his joy with you. The God of the universe wants to download his joy into your life. Our creator God, imagine what kind of joy that is. That is all of the joy that is contained in all of the universe in God himself. He wants to download that into your soul. He wants to infuse you with joy. That in and of itself brings me joy. How about you? It's what we are made for in our life. God says, if you will take on my joy, I want it to complete you. When you take in the joy of the Lord, I want it to completely fill you to the point where I can say that your joy may be fully complete. It's a gift to you. He says, listen, I want my joy to be your joy. It's a promise to you. It's a promise to you because of his great love. It's a promise to you because he sent us his son, Jesus Christ, to give you great joy for living. Not just living any old life, not just, you know, the sleeping, eating, going to work and running back and forth and watching TV and working for the weekend kind of life, but to give you an abundantly joy-filled life. That's what God wants for you, and that's what he's telling us this morning. Consider this scripture in John 10:10, one of my favorite life verses. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Basically, Satan, the great thief, wants to make you miserable. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Be full of what? To be filled with joy, to be full of the joy of the Lord, to have it to the full. Another translation would say, to have an abundant life. God wants to give you an abundant, joy-filled life. And the question today for you and for me is it in you? Is it in you? Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, the great enemy, Satan, he hates your guts and he wants you to be miserable and cranky and irritable. He wants you to be dried up. He wants to steal your joy because Satan is the great joy robber. That's what he does because misery loves company. And Satan is miserable, and he wants as many people as possible to be miserable along with him. And so Jesus is saying, on the other hand, I have come to fill you with a joy so enormous that it cannot be contained, so that it pours out of you and spills onto everyone else around you. You ever watch a football game, and when the coach is done and they win and they grab the hold of the jug of Gatorade, and what do? They track down the coach, and what do they do with that big jug of Gatorade? They throw it over his head. And it's like this Gatorade that just spills up out of this joy and exuberation of winning. And they douse the coach with joy. And I would think it'd be really cool that at the end of a great sermon on Sunday morning, that there'd be two people backstage and fill with a bucket of Gatorade. Bob's already raising his hand. He'll be one of them. Fill with a bucket of Gatorade and coming out here. And after Pastor Nancy gives a great sermon, dump Gatorade over her. That would be great, wouldn't it? That would be great. For Pastor Nancy, that would be great. Not for me, please. But I remember sitting at the picnic table at a camping trip one time, and you have to be careful where you set your picnic table when you set up for camp, because there are always grades around here. Everything is always sloped. There are no flat places in Zanesville, am I right? And so even in the surrounding areas, like in the Mohican Forest where we go there to camp, and you set up your picnic table, and you got to be careful which side of the picnic table you sit on, because if you're downhill in the picnic table and something gets spilt, guess where it's going? Right into your lap. Right into your lap. And so one day I was sitting down, I was on the bottom end of the picnic table, and I think one of the kids, it was either Elizabeth or Isabel, Austin or Tawna, I can't remember who it was, kind of knocked over the Gatorade, and it poured down that table and into my lap. And my first response was, that's cold. My first response was, what are you doing? And then my third response was to just kind of chuckle about the whole thing, because I was the one that sat there. And it was kind of like that Gatorade spilled all over me. And that's the point of this whole thing. That's what joy is when it's in you. It just spills up all over people. It spills all over people. And that's what life is meant for. It's meant for a life of outrageous joy that is contagious, that spills all over everybody around you. And the question is, if this is what God wants for us, if this is what we're designed for, then why are so many people so miserable? Why are so many people so miserable? I mean, if you look around the world today, America is filled with people who are miserable. America is filled with people who are miserable. We've lost our spirit of fun. We don't know how to laugh anymore. We take everything so seriously. We get up so uptight in situations and ways and forms. We focus on bad news. We have long faces and heavy hearts everywhere. And that's just in the local church. That's just in the local church. But you look at music and TV and movies, it's all about misery and sorrow and despair. The news thrives on tragedy and calamity and negativity. And even when we come to church, oftentimes we're ultra serious with long faces and we're quiet with little signs of joy or fun or laughter or smiles. And church ought to be that place where the burden is a little bit lighter. Church ought to be that place where we take stuff a little bit less seriously. It ought to be that place where we're filled with enthusiasm and we have an attitude that is uplifting and positive, and we can hear laughter in the hallways. And you say, well, why? Because we've got the good news of Jesus Christ in our life. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is good news. And when you put good and news together, that elicits the emotion of joy. It elicits smiles and laughter because he has come to fill us with his joy. Is it in you? Is it in you? Number one, we need to laugh more. We need to laugh more. We take stuff too seriously in life. We put too much pressure on ourselves. And in turn, we put too much pressure on those people around us. Some of us are wound up tighter than a Swiss cake roll. That's pretty tight. Who's hungry? You ever unwrap a Swiss cake roll and kind of eat out the filling and the chocolate off the sides? I mean, I do that from time. I have a little Debbie issue, and I just love little Debbie and anything she makes. And sometimes we're just so wound up. We walk through life waiting to be offended. We wait to be offended by the clerk that hasn't helped us fast enough, or the driver in front of us that's not going fast enough. We wait to be offended by the neighbor that annoys us, and we're looking to find whatever we can and whatever someone says or does that we can have a moment of negativity. Some of us, we walk around with antennas of misery sticking up, always waiting to latch on to some kind of negativity in some way, shape, or form. So maybe we can join in on a piece of gossip, or we can look for somebody to commiserate with that'll share our same negative feelings. We get so ultra serious. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean... If it's not in you, have you experienced this before? When we walk around this world today, we need to laugh more. We need to let loose a little bit more. We need to just let go. And we try to do this at our house all the time, because one of my great challenges in coming home from work and church and working with people, and the challenges that come with that is sometimes I get home and I'm so intense and I'm so ultra serious. And so we try to laugh at home. So I'll do dumb stuff in order to kind of entertain the kids from time to time. And one of Isabel's favorite things for her dad to do is to just find ways to hurt himself. She just gets joy out of that. I don't know. And so, you know, when the food comes, I'm just one of those people that I can't wait when the food comes out of the oven or it comes out of the microwave, it just goes right into my mouth. Does anyone else have that problem? And Aaron says, and here's what Aaron always says. She says, that's going to be hot. Do you think that would stop me? No. Well, you think it would, but it doesn't. And so I'll grab a spoonful of food. It goes right in my mouth. And guess what happens? I start hollering and I spit it out, or I start dancing around in the kitchen and making a big old scene, and Isabel just goes crazy. Do it again, Dad. Okay. All right. That doesn't sound like too much fun, but we try to loosen things up and lighten things up a little bit. And one of the things that I do is I take songs and I just put dumb words to them. And when the girls are trying to sing a song, I'll sing my own version. And they'll say, Dad, what are you doing? And we'll just all laugh because, well, their dad's just acting like a... Well, he's just acting like an idiot in that moment. And we just have fun. We learn to laugh at each other, and we let go, and we just let God. I remember there was a time where my mom needed a tree taken down in her backyard, and my brother and I were there. This is maybe 7 or 8 years ago. My dad wasn't around that day, and I think I was on vacation, and my brother was at the house, too, in Dayton. That's where I grew up. My folks are still in that house today. And so my brother and I, we got the lawn tractor. We got about 20 feet worth of rope. And we got an axe out because we didn't have the chainsaw. And so we started hammering away at the tree with the axe, but that was just taking too long. So we strapped the rope to the top of the tree. Someone had to climb the tree while it was already half cut and tie the rope to the top of the tree. We hooked it to the back of the lawn tractor, pulled the lawn tractor out there. The front of the wheels of the lawn tractor came up. And so we decided, well, this wasn't working either. So someone had to climb the tree and just sway back and forth while the lawn tractor was pulling the tree. So my dad comes home in the middle of the process, sees my brother up the tree, I'm on the lawn tractor, and all of a sudden I pull the tree over, my brother hops off the tree quick enough to not get hurt, and the tree almost collapses onto the lawn tractor and me. And we walked in, and my dad is the most pious, you know, one of the most pious guys you'll ever meet, just straight-laced, and he said to us, he said, what are you two idiots doing out there? And I said, well, we're taking down the tree. And he says, you guys are going to end up killing yourselves out there. I said, I know, Dad, but it was fun. And he was in this angry moment. And all of a sudden, he just burst out in laughter. And we just love to make my dad laugh in those moments, to do things that frustrate him so much that all he has to do to his sons is to be able to laugh. Because if he didn't laugh, he'd cry. You ever get in those moments where life is just so much of a struggle that if you didn't laugh, you'd cry? I mean, life is such a challenge. People in your life is such a challenge. Things in your life are such a challenge. You thought, you know what? I might as well laugh, because if I didn't, I'd cry. Well, let's watch this movie clip and see what happens when we decide to laugh after calamity.
Hi, this is Julia Child with a tip on making cup Suzette, that marvelous flaming dessert that you do at the table. You need a nice flaming setup. I've got a heat source there. There's an attractive pan. And in the pan, I have a mixture of sugar, butter, orange juice, and grated orange peel. And I'm keeping it prepped. I'm bathing it in this mixture. I'm going to do that quite neatly. A little bit of time. Art and politics. I like to use a no-stick pan and heat it until water.
Problem in the kitchen, nothing trivial.
Well, the turkey's done.
So is the kitchen. Actually, it's a little overdone for my taste. Let's not go there again.
You don't want to tell me what happened?
No, I don't. I just want to relax in a nice lukewarm bath.
What about this?
I don't think that can hurt us anymore. Ha ha ha!
Quite honestly, there's just times in our life where we need to laugh, because if we didn't laugh, we'd cry, we'd get angry, we would just do something dumb. And we need to laugh more, because when you laugh more, it lightens the crisis. When you laugh more, it changes the mood of a room. When you laugh more, it changes the mood of the people around you. When you laugh more, it changes the life of the church. It changes the life of worship when we learn to laugh together. And I don't know if you've noticed, but one thing I like to do in worship is to laugh. Because laughter emits these emotions that are deep inside of us that God has planted there. It makes family gatherings a blast when you laugh. It makes you more approachable when you laugh. It's easier to approach somebody who's laughing or has a smile on their face or filled with joy than somebody who's long-faced and critical and negative. It just makes you more enjoyable to be around when you're laughing or when you're smiling. Laughter is, after all, the best medicine. And you can't remain miserable with a smile on your face. Try it sometime. If you're feeling miserable or down, put a smile on your face. Just force yourself to laugh, and all of a sudden, it will lift your emotions. It will lift your feelings. And that's where the adage comes from, the idea that laughter is sometimes medicine. The question is, do you like to laugh? And if not, why not? Because laughter is something that God has given to us. We need a joy infusion that is so completely full of the Lord that it rises up out of us and spills out of us in this moment of laughter. Consider what Jesus said in John. He stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." What do you think the rivers of living water flowing from within them is? Think about this for a second. The question is it in you? Are there streams of life-giving water that are in you that is so powerfully wonderful because Jesus Christ is in your life that you know that it just flows up out from within you? You have nowhere else for it to go but for it to come outside of you. That Jesus and his love for you and his abundant desire for a plan for your life is so abundantly joyous and wonderful that it just spills up out of you. What do we call that? Laughter. That's what laughter is. And we find ourselves thirsty. And when we're thirsty, we get a little grumpy and we get a little irritable and we get a little whiny. And so we get a drink. And when we take a drink of Gatorade, it quenches our thirst. And when we take a drink of the Gatorade of our soul, which is Jesus Christ, and we drink him in, when we connect to him personally, from within will rise up joy and streams of living water from even the driest places that will spill all over everyone else around us. And some of you are saying right now, "Well, you don't know my uncle, you don't know me, you don't know my friend. They've never laughed a day in their life. They don't even know how to crack a smile. I just never experienced joy in them, and that's impossible." Well, consider what it says in Numbers. It says, "Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank." If God can get water out of a rock, he can bring joy and laughter from the driest soul. He can bring joy and laughter from the driest soul. This is what the power of Jesus Christ in us does. It wells up like living water that bursts out of us in form of laughter and smiles and finding humor in trials, relaxing in trials, letting go of our intensity. And that's one of the greatest challenges of my life that I've confessed to you. Sometimes when I'm with the family, is I can get so intense. And laughter and joy changes that mood in that moment in an instant. The question is it in you? We need to laugh more. We need to laugh more. Number two, we need to live in the present. We need to live in the present. Joy is robbed from us when the sneaky thief of our past creeps up into our life and reminds us of something demoralizing from our past. And that's what joy, that's what the thief does. He robs us of something from our past. It's something that maybe we've done or something that we've said or something that was done to us or said to us. And he robs us of our joy in that moment. He robs us of the joy in the present. This thief can conjure up fear regarding something in our future as well. He oftentimes conjures up fear of something that we don't even know if it's going to happen or not. And we worry about it and we get anxiety about it, even though that thing may never happen, and it robs you of joy. That's what's happening with the Ebola virus right now. I mean, think about this. Our country is up in arms about the Ebola virus, and people are afraid. They're afraid to go to the airport. They're afraid to go to the hospital. They're afraid to go to Texas. They're afraid to go to Cleveland. It's just kind of scary how much this fear has come over us. And we forget when we have Jesus Christ in our life. There's no reason to allow joy to be robbed by fear in that moment of our future. Because a couple of things are happening. The chances of us getting Ebola are slim to none. The chances that we get Ebola and we have the power of God in us that can heal us, well, there's some good chances of that. The chances of us getting Ebola and possibly dying from it and going to heaven and being in a better place is actually kind of a joyous thought if you think about it. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? God takes us up into heaven. Even that moment has joy. There's no reason to allow things that are happening in the future or in our minds going to happen that may never happen and rob us of that joy. Isaiah 52:12 says, "For the Lord will go ahead of you. The God of Israel will protect you from behind." So God's got your front side and he's got your backside. And so all we need to do in that moment is to drink in the reality that he has our past covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and that God is out in front of us guiding our future and our future is in his hands. And because of that, the joy can fill us in amazing ways. And joy-filled people, they stay riveted to the present. Joy-filled people stay riveted to the here and the now, not the then and the never. They don't let the thief rob them of their joy. They don't allow him to steal moments of their life. And the question for you and for me today, is it in you? Is the Gatorade for your soul in you? The joy of the Lord of Jesus Christ. It's available for all of us. It's a free gift. And thirdly, we need to choose joy. We need to choose joy. Pastor Nancy mentioned it last week. Joy is a choice. It's God's great desire that it would be in us, that his joy may be making us complete in us. It is a gift to us, but receiving a gift is a choice. You have to take that gift into your life. It's your choice to drink. It's your choice to drink in this life-giving water. It's the same as choosing Jesus Christ. We choose Jesus Christ. We choose to drink him into our life. We choose the joy of the Lord. Now, you can choose to live the life-giving water of Jesus Christ in your life. You can choose to live in joy, or you can choose to live a dry and weary and grumpy and miserable and long-faced and ultra-serious life. That's what Satan hopes for you, because he loves misery, because misery loves company. You see, people who choose joy pay attention to know what they pay no attention to what day of the week it is. People who choose joy don't pay attention to how old they are. People who choose joy don't pay attention to the level of pain they're in. They don't worry about tomorrow. People who choose joy don't worry about the pimple on their face. They don't easily take offense at other people when things happen. People who choose joy try to find humor in the things of life, even some of the greatest challenges. They deliberately choose to laugh. They choose to smile. They choose to find joy. Nobody can make you joyous. Nobody can make you smile. Nobody can make you laugh. It's a choice. It's a decision of the heart. Not even God can make you do that. It's your choice to drink it in. And the question is it in you? Is it in you? There was a man who lived once. He was said to be persecuted and maligned. As a matter of fact, it was discovered that he suffered physically. It was said that he had a lifelong thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn in his flesh was. It could be a debilitating illness. It could be debilitating pain on a daily basis. It could have been a debilitating relationship. It may have been all those. This man was also falsely accused. He was falsely arrested. He was beaten. He was thrown into prison on two different occasions and chained to the guard in shackles. And we would say, this guy must be miserable. He must be a miserable wretch in that moment. Yet all we read about of the Apostle Paul is that never once does he complain or loathe or have self-pity or have a long face. As a matter of fact, when you read the letter to the Philippians, when he's in prison, in jail, he is pressing on in joy-filled laughter and smiles, all while being chained to a Roman guard. Watch what it says in Philippians. This is Paul writing while he's in a Roman prison. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice." Is that exclusive or is that entirely inclusive? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. He says, always rejoice in the Lord. Not if this happens or that happens or this doesn't happen or that doesn't happen. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. What he's saying is, it's a choice for you to drink in the joy of the Lord in all things. Rejoicing is a choice. And Paul is begging us to make that choice. Is it in you? Is it in you? Well, how do we do that? How do we have joy in all circumstances? Well, number four. You need to live above the circumstances. I need to live above the circumstances. We need to live above our circumstances. Because oftentimes we hear the old adage, well, you know, under the circumstances you're in, you probably should be a little unhappy, miserable, or negative. I mean, considering the circumstances or under the circumstances that are going on in your life, it's okay for you to be cranky and irritable and negative. But let me ask you a question. With Jesus Christ in your life, what business do you have living under the circumstances? With Jesus Christ in your life, how do we have this response that I'm in these circumstances, there's no way I can be anything but grim? With Christ in your life, what are we doing living under the circumstances? Christ in you is a call to joy. Christ in you is the supreme choice and the supreme opportunity to take in the joy of the Lord, the God of the universe, that He calls us to live above the circumstances. As Paul did. Paul lived above the circumstances and found joy in even the greatest trials. It said he lived with a thorn in his flesh every day of his life. We don't know what that was, but it can't be anything good. But he still was able to find joy. I remember a couple weeks ago when we had Maurice Clarett here, and we did the Clarett event here at the church, and then we did it out at the school at the Maysville Athletic Complex. And he came to that event that night, and he had passed along to Lisa that he couldn't find his wallet. He had lost his wallet. And he went through that whole night with us, and he showed up and did that thing. And then he stuck around for an extra hour afterwards, signing autographs with a smile on his face, laughing with people and hanging out with people. And then we were walking back to our cars and getting ready to leave. He asked if we found a wallet. And I said, no, we hadn't found the wallet. And he just cracked a smile and he says, I don't worry about it. I'll just call the credit card company, have those canceled. I mean, he went through the whole night with joy and he didn't even know where his wallet was the whole time. Now, if that was me, I'd be freaking out. Where's my wallet? I lost my wallet. Somebody took my wallet. Where is it? It'd be hard to function. It'd be hard to give people my best. But he gave people his best, even though he was in the middle of a terrible trial and circumstances. And so, listen, if we're dry inside, if we lack joy, we might be a part of the if-only group. And the if-only group says, if I only had more money, if I only had better circumstances, if I only had better health, if I only had more talent, if I only had more friends, if I only had this or that, then I would choose to be happy. Then I would be able to have joy. And just like having more money never satisfies, having more of anything is never going to make us happier. Or having more of anything is not going to necessarily increase our joy. It might make us happy, but only for a moment, because happiness is often fleeting. It disappears rather quickly depending on our circumstances. There's nothing wrong with seeking happiness, and there's nothing wrong with being happy. But happiness is dependent on our circumstances. We get in a car accident. We're not happy about that. We lose our wallet. Not necessarily happy about that. Your child is born with Apert syndrome or a disease or a challenge. You're not necessarily happy about that. I wasn't happy about Aperts in the life of my daughter Isabel, but I can tell you she brings joy into our life every day since. She brings joy into our life. You see, joy lives above the circumstances because it wells up from it within us. It wells up from a connection of our heart to God's love. And it is independent on what happens out there. The life-giving water comes from within, not from out there. And so it's independent of our circumstances. It wells up from within us, spilling joy all over our circumstances and our trials and all over other people. And when you have the joy of the Lord in you, you waste no time wondering if the grass is greener on the other side. No, you're yearning for yesterday or tomorrow. When the joy of the Lord is in you, we savor the moment. We're blessed by the day that we're given. We're blessed by being able to take another breath. We're blessed by today. We're blessed by family. We're blessed by even trials. We're blessed to be able to give grace and rather than offering negativity and challenging circumstances. We're blessed by the good stuff around us and we're able to see the good in the midst of the trials and challenges. We become adaptable when life is not going our way. This is what happens when you have Christ in you and the joy of the Lord. No matter what is going on, your joy doesn't have to be robbed. Because it's an opportunity for us to live above the circumstances, to make a choice. And I pray today, I pray it is in you. You can live above anything and have a loving, passionate, joy-filled life in Jesus Christ. It is a choice. Is it in you? Do you have an outrageous joy? It's time for God's joy infusion in our life. Right. Praise be to God. Here are a couple of action steps for you. Number one, here's your prescription from the spiritual doctor's office today. Go home and laugh more. Go to your workplace and laugh more. When you're driving in the car, laugh more. Number two, let go of a past hurt or fear. of your past or let go of a fear that you have for your future. Just let go of it. Give it to God. Number three, when a trial arises, put your mind and heart on Jesus Christ. And know that no matter what happens, no matter what the outcome, God is in control. And God has it in His hands. And in that moment, know that Jesus Christ is in your life. And that wellspring of living water can spring up and cover over any challenge or trial that you might have. That it'll rise up and put your mind and your heart at ease as you put it on Christ. Will you do that this week? Pray about the new joy that God can give you. It's available. It's a gift. God wants it for you. He wants His joy to be complete in you. I mean, there isn't a more awesome gift that God can give us next to our salvation alone. And because of our salvation, it's what elicits joy in our lives. Let's take a moment to pray.